Before getting to the sermon, just a couple items want to pass on to you. The first is that, remember, next Sunday, which is also Christmas Sunday, we will have a worship service at 10:30, and that's it for that Sunday. So no Bible classes next week, also no evening service that week. That time is freed up for you to spend time with family and loved ones as you celebrate the Christmas holiday next Sunday. On January 1st, we'll have normal schedule on that day. So things are different for next Sunday. They'll be the same as far as schedule for services and Bible classes go on January 1st. Also want to mention to you about the vision implementation team. You've heard some about that. We have a group of folks that are meeting every other Sunday to ensure that we as a congregation are, in fact, living into the stated vision. We strive to be a people who are shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, and we do so by what you see here on the wall, loving our neighbors near and far, holding to the Word of God in prayer, engaging in life-changing worship, sharing life as a grace-filled and diverse community, and cultivating youth and family discipleship. And so every other week, first and third Sunday, this group of nine folks, they come together and pray and discuss how we can do that. And so already, as we've talked about that, we've discussed our worship service and how we can be more coordinated in the work that we do, more organized in how we do things. We have a group that is going to be in our meeting today talking about our greeting and hospitality ministry so that we can ensure that guests feel welcomed when they come to worship with us. So that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about in these implementation team meetings. We are open to your suggestions, thoughts, questions, and concerns. So if you have any of those, please let us know what's on your heart. There's even an email address that is set up that you can contact us that way. You can also talk to me or Mark Morrow, Robert Copeland, or any of the other team members about that. As a matter of fact, right now, if you are on that implementation team, would you please stand up for a moment? Those that are on the vision implementation team, please stand up at this point. So you have Ken Parker over here, Robert and Courtney, Alan, Colleen. Of course, there are some that aren't here right now. These are some of the folks that you can talk to about that work that is taking place in our congregation at this time. So we will continue to do that work into 2017 as we strive to be these kind of people, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Have you ever in your life had a wow God kind of moment? I remember the first time that I saw, not the first time that I saw the ocean, but one of the times that I saw the ocean in Destin, Florida. Walked onto that beach and saw that beautiful ocean. That was a wow God kind of moment for me. Like the beauty of creation, that God made that. It's incredible. First time I saw the Rocky Mountains, I had one of those moments. Wow, God, this is incredible. The beauty of your creation is absolutely amazing and even breathtaking. When Adeline and Audrey were born, first time to hold those baby girls. Many of you know what I'm talking about. It's wow, God, like, you made these girls, and they're beautiful, and they're perfect. Wow, God. Spending time with family, like around the holidays, and you look around at folks that you have the privilege, the blessing to live with and share life with, and you look around and you just say, wow, God, this is amazing. Or for some of the people, maybe you're thinking, wow, God, you made them? Perhaps there's a moment like that. Don't tell anybody that that's your wow, God moment, but what were you thinking, God? There might be a moment like that. Maybe for some of you is your wedding day, right? I remember like this when Sarah kind of turned the corner and started to walk up that aisle on our wedding day back in July 26, 2008. Sarah's not even in here to make sure that I've got that right. But I just kind of turned. It was just wow. God, the love, the energy, the folks that were surrounding us on that day. It's, wow, God, you're amazing. You're so good. You love us. You care for us. Have you had moments like this, moments just full of wonder and appreciation and awe, the work of God? And there's a problem, though. I think we see it in our society, we see it in our life, and I think it's not a stranger to even people who live by faith. And that is that oftentimes we can sort of get lulled asleep by the ordinariness of life. And so these wow God kind of moments become fewer and further between, and we just kind of get lulled asleep by the mundane. And so we stop looking for the ways that God is going to work. Our vision gets very cloudy and everything becomes gray, and we stop seeing the ways that God is working in our life. And what happens when we fail to see the ways that God is working in our lives is that we lose that sense of wonder and awe and appreciation for who God is. And so we become very pragmatic instead of passionate. We become judgmental instead of joyful. We become cynical instead of being compassionate toward others. We become, and I know this is real for me, we become complainers instead of cheerleaders for others. And we become angry instead of being awestruck by the incredible power of our God. And so there is this strong current of pessimism and negativity that's in our world. And again, it's not a stranger to the people of faith. And this pessimism can make its home in our hearts. And so we become glass half full or a glass half empty kind of people. We're driving down, which is just crazy in itself, driving down the road in a car, failing to think about the different ways in which God has blessed us and taken care of us. I mean, even just driving down the road, right? That even in traffic, when we're only going 35 miles per hour as opposed to 65 miles per hour or 70 or 75 miles per hour, even that in itself, imagine just a few years ago, 100 years ago, for instance, how long it took someone to get from point A to point B. And we're thinking, I only get to go 50 miles per hour in this moment. And you stop and think, wait, I get to go 50 miles per hour in this moment. You see, we get lulled asleep by what we consider the mundane or the ordinary of life. And so in the middle of that, and I think it's so important that we're reminded that in the midst of all the mundaneness and the ordinariness of life, where we get lulled asleep and lose that sense of wonder in who our God is, we find Psalm 145, 1 through 7, a wow God kind of song. Psalm 145, 1 through 7. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And so this psalm is an acrostic. Each line of the psalm begins with another letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And I love how what some commentators make of this. It's like from A to Z, God is to be praised. Every facet of life, all we are as human beings and all of creation is to praise and glorify the name of God. Because as the psalm starts, the Lord is King. And we are to praise Him. And so it starts off, just like I said, verse 1. I will exalt you, my God the King. And so here we find the recipient of praise. And we can go on about three or four slides here where it just shows verse 1 there, Jeff. There we go. We see the recipient of praise. Now, if you notice at the beginning of this psalm, right after it marks that this is Psalm 145, it says that this is a psalm of David. Who was David? He was the king, right? The king of Israel. Was he the king of Israel? Was he really the king of Israel? No, it says right here, the beginning. The king of Israel recognizes who truly is the king of Israel. My God, the King. All of this begins with an understanding of who God truly is and who we are in relationship to God. God is the King. We are the ones who live under the reign of the King, including David himself, who was the King of Israel. It all begins with this understanding of God as King. And as has been said so many times, if God is on the throne, then that means that we are not on the throne. He is in control. He is the one who is calling the shots. He is the one that is directing our lives and really all of creation. So the recipient of praise is God, the King. Secondly, we see the givers of praise here. First of all, verse 2. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And so it begins with the individual as the one who gives praise to God. But then skipping down to verse 10, all your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you or praise you, honor you, glorify you. And so you have, on the one hand, you have the individual who is praising God. But beyond that, you have the community of God's people, the faithful ones who are praising God. Those who God has called to be his people praise God. And then third, you see there in verse 10, the first part of verse 10, all your works praise you, Lord, and then your faithful people extol you. All of creation, if you skip down to verse 21, this isn't on the screen, but verse 21, look at what it says there in Psalm 145. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. There's the individual aspect, but then look at the second part. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. All of the works of God, all creatures are to praise God. It's like, if you think about it with concentric circles, right? The beginning or at the middle, you have I. You have the individual who's praising God. Then from there it grows. You have the faithful people, Israel, and now the church who praises God. And then beyond that, you have all the works of God, all creatures who praise God because of who he is. And then we have the reasons for praise. Let's look at verses 4 through 7 again. Notice the reasons that David shares for why we ought to praise God. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So in case we don't get it the first time, David over and over again extols God because of all that he does for the faithful people and for all of creation. His mighty acts, the glorious splendor, wonderful works, awesome works, great deeds, abundant goodness, and righteousness. God does wonderful things in the world. But there's a deeper reason than what we even see here in the surface of these verses. At the heart of praise is confidence or trust or faith in God. I'm going to say that again. At the heart of praise is confidence in God. See, as I mentioned before, as we are praising God for who he is, his wonderful works, and his mighty acts, recognizing that he is king, as we're doing that, we're also saying something about ourselves. So we're not just communicating something about God, we're communicating something about ourselves. God is God. He is the one that is worthy of praise. We are the ones who are praising him. We find our life, our joy, our strength, all that we have from him and from him alone. See, it orients us in the proper spot in creation and in relationship to him. We give the praise, he receives the praise. At the heart of praise is confidence in God. If God is the creator, if God is doing mighty works, if he is doing awesome deeds, we can trust that he is going to continue to do so on our behalf. And it all comes from him. Something incredible happens in my life. We have these wow God kind of moments. It's not because of something that I have done. It's because of who God is. So it humbles us. And don't we need humble? Praising God humbles us. We recognize that it's God that is doing the incredible works and not us. We're humbled. We can find that confidence in God that he is going to continue to be faithful on behalf of his people. And so today, we're remembering some of the mighty acts God has done in and through the Leander Church in 2016. So we think the words of the psalmist, we tell of the powerful and awesome works of God. We proclaim his great deeds. And so we think about some of the ministries and programs and activities that have been done in the Leander Church and through the Leander Church in 2016. Some things like, there's a whole list here, vision process, the food pantry, the clothing giveaway, ladies day, a Bible science class for children, Christmas gifts given away, missionary support, youth, the different activities and the way that ministry has been done through the youth ministry, a literacy partnership that's taking place right now, all of those that are involved in World Bible School, the card-making ministry, benevolence provided, teachers teaching Bible classes, members caring for children, and aging parents. And we could go on in the different ways that God is at work amongst us. And just to be clear, this is not, I'm just one trying to list every single thing that God's doing. If we did that, we wouldn't have, I mean, we'd have 25 PowerPoint slides. But you get the idea of the different ways that God has been at work in this congregation. And then in the words of the psalmist, we celebrate God's abundant goodness and joyfully sing of his righteousness as we remember the baptisms that have taken place this year. 16 of them: Braden Clark, Cole Witten, Hayden Hudson, Conager McGee, Malik Jones, Emily Taylor, Daniel McCoy, Haley Sanders, David Martin, Tyler Martin, Morgan Kirk, Jonathan Hilt, Sam Velez, Savannah Wright, Shantia Johns, and Linda Bowen. About Linda, perhaps some of you have had the privilege to have some conversations about her as she talks about this congregation. She says, the love and the support and the care provided by this congregation is just incredible. And Linda, we love you and appreciate you. You're so glad that you're here. It's been so cool getting to know you and get to hear about the different ways that you have been blessed by this congregation. And we want you to know that you are a blessing to us as well. God is at work in and through us. And we speak of the glorious splendor of God's majesty as we think about the new members of this congregation. I think 30 folks, Casey and Stacy Childs, Rick and Beverly Brown, Arnie and Brandy Elkins, along with Drew, Christopher, and Joshua, Tom Watson, Wayne and Regan Walker, Dean and Becky Lightfoot, David and Pam Scarborough, Todd and Laura Jansen, along with Amy and Michaela, Max and Peggy Annis, Leslie Christofferson, Ray and Janelle Cole, along with Taryn and Adele, Roy and Karen Felkner, Joshua Alexander, and Mike and Brenda Shoemaker. All these folks that have come our way to partner with us in doing the work of God in this community. And then births. So last year we had 10, almost 11 births with Audrey because she was born on December 29th. This year only one. That's all right. Cooper Webb was born this year, and we're so thankful for that. So if the pattern holds, that means we should have a whole bunch next year. So I don't know, not us, but I assure you of that. Okay, so this next slide is about deaths. I mentioned this last year too, and you wonder, like, so mighty acts and death. How do these go together? Well, for one, we remember the ways that God has worked in mighty ways through these folks. It's a privilege to have them in our life. It's a privilege to be recipients of the blessings that they offered us as they were channels of God's blessing. We also understand that they are now in the presence of God. They have received their reward in the language of Paul. And so we remember Bernice George and Zula Conway and Kendall Henderson and Elizabeth Harvey and Joe Ross and Bill Kennedy and Mark Welty and Odell Gourley. These are folks that we love dearly, and we're thankful for the ways that God worked through him. In Matthew 26, 27 through 30, we read about this Last Supper, this Passover meal that Jesus shared with the disciples. And it says there, "Then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And then verse 30, "When they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives." Have you ever pictured Jesus singing? It's likely that what they were singing here, the disciples along with Jesus, we read about here in Matthew 26, it's likely what they were singing was part of the Hallel Psalms. The Hallel Psalms are found in Psalm 113 through 118. Hallel simply means praise. And so each Passover, the Jewish people, along with sharing a meal, would also sing of God's mighty works. They would praise God. And so if you can, just picture Jesus singing praise to his Father. Jesus praised the Father. And so Jesus is like this perfect worshiper. Right? This perfect worshiper. And I believe Jesus desired his life to align with that praise. So, if God is the creator, then how can we live as ones who bring honor to the creator? If God is the one who does mighty works, how can we be instruments in his hands so that he can do mighty works through us? If God is the one who does awesome deeds, what does it mean for me to be a channel of those awesome deeds in the world? So Jesus is like this perfect worshiper. And this is what I want us to get this morning. He's the mediator for us as we praise God for his mighty acts. And now let's take it a step further. The mightiest of all acts by God, I believe, is Jesus coming to the earth. Jesus lived a perfect life. And he died on a cross for the sins of humanity, providing a way for us to be reconciled to God. And then he was raised from the dead. And we recognize that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too we have the hope of being raised to the dead, to raised from the dead, to live with God forever. The mightiest act of all, the gift of Jesus Christ given by God to us. So as we close, I'd like for you to think about this. What mighty acts is God going to do through us in 2017? And let me personalize it a bit. What mighty acts do you believe that God is going to do through you in 2017? This isn't just about looking back on the past year, but it's also about looking forward to what's going to come up in the next year. So what mighty acts is God going to do through you and through this congregation in 2017? Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope so. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family today, I would be just glad to pray with you or for you. David here in just a moment is going to sing, lead us in an invitation song. You can come forward. Let us know what's on your heart, and we'd be glad to pray with you. I want you to know that there will also be elders available in the back. You could find them, share with on what's on your heart. They'd be glad to listen to you and also pray with you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life to Jesus Christ in baptism today, we would just be honored to witness you do that today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our mighty God.